Our guest today is a game designer and an extraordinary player to have at a table. She is the owner of Black Girl Gameworks and co-founder of More Seats at the Table. Her skills are deep, like Role Master Deep. It's Misha B on Diceology, episode 22. Misha B, Happy New Year. Welcome to the Diceology Show.
Thanks for having me.
You're our first guest on the show this year for 2020.
Very cool.
How was your holidays?
Good. We redid a bathroom, which was precisely as exciting as it sounds. We actually did manage to do it without killing each other or wrecking the house, and everything worked, so we didn't have any major leaks, so I'm counting it as a win.
Nice. Was that a gift from Santa?
It's something we've been planning to do for a little while. We have this like half bath downstairs that was just kind of weird. And it just was like, okay, we're going to ship the kids off to their grandparents. And we're going to come back early from Christmas. And we had like between then and New Year's to finish it up. So
you both hands-on did it yourselves.
Oh, yeah. This is like, you know, getting into it and getting your fingernails dirty and
wow.
Stuff.
Yeah. Wow. How long did that take?
It took most of the, like, 4 days. Because we had most of the stuff, like, we prepared and like, all right, we need to get this and this. And so we've been ordering it for, like, a couple of weeks before. And then so the actual work, some of it was like, all right, we got to actually literally wait for paint to dry. And so that always factors into time. And I was like, all right, I can't do anything till that's dry. So.
Nice. That's funny. What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Baltimore, which is right. Right on the bay, up near Hopkins, the school, and New Year Memorial. There's actually a tree that Al Capone had planted in after the nurses at Union Memorial saved his life right up the street from us.
Wow. Okay.
I know, it's very weird.
I was going to say that's kind of nice for everything we hear about Al Capone.
Yeah. Apparently, he was really nice to people if you were nice to him. If you weren't nice to him, you were screwed.
That kind of seems fair. I don't know. Yeah. That seems fair. What's early gaming like for you? How did you get into gaming? What does that look like?
So I actually was hanging out at the mall with a friend of mine waiting for Mortal Kombat to start, the movie. And we were waiting in the food court of the mall because neither of us had cars, so we had to rely on public transportation. So you had to get there early because that's when the train ran. And we look over and there's a group of guys with books all over the table and dice. And we're like, what are you doing? And they were waiting for the movie, too. So they were rolling up Earth Dawn characters for they just finished a Shadowrun campaign, and somehow the Shadowrun characters had fallen through some kind of wormhole and ended up in the Earth Dawn world. So they were starting over with new physical bodies, but the same brains kind of thing.
Okay. Right.
And so they're like, if you want to come, we're going to be at the student center at the college you happen to be at, too. So like, oh, that's convenient. So we went the next day to hang out with them. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow. That's amazing.
Looking back, it's a very crunchy system.
Okay.
I haven't played it in a while, but like you had, like there were steps with the dice and you ended up using like the whole seven dice spectrum. And it was, I ran it for a while, but it's been years since I've played and or run it. So, it was fun. I enjoyed it when I did it. I don't know if I could go back to that level of crunch.
That's funny. What are you playing these days?
little bit of everything. I do a lot of play by post gaming, so I've got a Mass campaign or two, an Urban Shadows campaign. We're playing Jonathan Laval's We Used to Be Friends, which is kind of like Veronica Mars, the RPG.
Yeah.
My home group is playing Urban Shadows at the moment, and I'm in a Divi Humans game, and I'll be playing Heist, and I'll probably be playing D&D in the near future. So, yeah, that's a lot of games when you say it out loud like that.
That is a lot of games. That's impressive.
Well, so the nice thing about being, you know, a professional game designer and that being my day job is I have time during the day to do things like that.
Oh, so. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Yeah,
living the life.
I'm trying to get more of my day job to be game design or in that space. But it's hard. It's hard moving into that space. Yeah. So I'm jealous. How's play by post working out for you? I've had some games in the past. They seem to fizzle out for me.
When they sing, they sing. I'd say for every like five games I start, only one actually ends up going to completion. Okay. So that's the fizzling out. Is pretty standard. Don't feel bad. It's not you.
Okay. All right. Are there any, I want to say, special or must-have tools that you use for play-by-post?
No. I've got one play-by-post that me and my friend have been doing for 4 years now that we just do in Hangouts.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
But yeah, all you really need is like, there's a tool now called Rollgate, Rolegate, that's got a decently robust, play by post kind of built in. I've used Discord for, play by post pretty much as long as you have like a central location where everybody can write, it's right. Pretty easy.
Okay. Yeah. I think, for me, usually, it's a holiday thing or weather. And then there's a break, and then it's hard to get everybody back in.
Yeah. That's pretty normal.
Well, that's cool, because I thought it was me, maybe. I was doing something wrong.
that's just the way it is. It's like, I find it's different with in-person games or like your regular group, because getting back into the groove of it, when you aren't making a specific time to go back and check it, is a little trickier. So that doesn't happen as often with play by post as it does with face to face games.
Oren, how's that going?
We just got the first half of the book back from the editors, actually. And so we're incorporating her feedback and sending it off to layout while she works on the second half. So it. If you can't see, I've got my fingers like crossed and like all sorts of things crossed. My plan is to have it out by the end of first quarter this year, mid second quarter at best, like at worst, like worst case scenario, it doesn't go out to the end of the year, end of the second quarter. But definitely before my birthday, this thing is going to be out of my hands. If I have to like shoot somebody or something to get it done, that's what it's going to be.
Nice. Are you, is it getting play tested and shopped around like different adventures and things like that this year?
I actually ran two games of it, at OrcaCon 2 weeks ago. Just feeling out the rules. I know that I run it differently than Aloy runs it, than Jerry runs it. Like we had this balance of, okay, I am like super story game. I can play a game with absolutely no rules and no dice and keep going. And Aloy is very much, no, you have to have rules and dice. What do you mean? You can't do that. It's not happening. So we had to like, there's this delicate balance of we've been walking with the whole system. And I think what we came up with was pretty cool. It uses 2d10, you add them together and then you add stats and skills. So it works out pretty well. I had two playtests of it a couple of weeks ago. Same five pre-gen characters, same starting point, and they both went very differently, and it was great, and I loved it.
Nice. That's nice when the system's flexible that way, where you have two different styles of GMing and the game still runs nice.
Yeah, right.
And that's coming out with under New Agenda Publishing, right?
No, that's us. That's what we're doing. So New Agenda is me, Eloy, and Jerry. Yep. We've been, I think this is our second, we just finished the second full year in business. So
nice.
Exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I remember when you folks launched. And so I was thinking, I think you got to be older. It's got to be older than the year and a half now. So.
Yeah, right about, we officially launched January 1st, 2018, so.
All right. Anything you can talk about that's on the plate after Orun that you folks are going to do?
We're just trying to get this one out before we even, like, start looking at other stuff. it's like, no, I'm not, I got to get this one off my plate, and we've got to, like, streamline this process a little more for my case.
That's fair. The software engineer in me understands that part.
Yeah.
Let me refine this process and then try it again with something different. No, I get that. That's awesome. Tell me about Black Girl Gameworks.
So Black Girl Gameworks is my personal, is what I do all my freelancing under. Everything from I'm working with Paizo, for example, to do Pathfinder stuff. Mm-hmm. To the stuff I did for Evil Hat with Fate of Cthulhu. That's my baby. So.
I know there's a big list of stuff in there. I was checking that out as
I occasionally like go back and like I'm trying to make it's like somebody's like, oh, well, what have you worked on? And they're like, okay, I got it. And then I like sit down and start writing and it's like, oh wow, that's actually a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Occasionally surprises me too. I actually probably should update that list a little more too, which is even funnier. And then I've been trying to like pull in like any clips and stuff of people like panels and stuff that I've been on, which I found quite a few. I got to make a page for that at some point.
So. Yeah, I forget about adding, listing, or accounting for panels. I end up on a handful of panels and I don't know a good way to say, hey, I've also done these things.
Yeah.
But I think they're worthwhile saying too.
Yeah.
So I'm embarrassed because as I was doing Misha research, I saw More Seats at the Table. And I don't know enough about what that is.
Sure. More Seats at the Table is a project that is me, Kira McGron, Kim Lam, and Anna Kreider. Mm-hmm. We started a biweekly newsletter that highlights games by women and other marginalized genders. And we highlight games by them. So every 2 weeks you'll see like, okay, these are Kickstarters that are coming out that are by women, that are by trans artists, that are by non-binary artists, that are these are games that we like that we've played that have come out from them. These are sometimes it's like, oh, this person's running a dice Kickstarter, or they're running a bundle on Itch or a game jam or things. And so we put those together and put that out in the world so that people can see what's going on and where they can find and support people. Because often we find that you see people saying like, but I don't know any blank. And it's like, yeah, no, that we're here. We've been here a while. We're very loud if you actually listen.
No, and that's fair because I do see that a lot, that I don't know or I don't know how to find, or I don't, no one of X, Y, or Z applies. And so this is an open list, or an open email list that.
It's free to anybody can subscribe. I don't have the link handy, but I will get it to you. Anybody can subscribe. It's free. Like I said, it comes to your email twice a week. Or not twice a week, twice a month, roughly every 2 weeks. It's been kind of fun. This last issue was like issue 27, so we've done it for about a year.
Oh wow! Okay.
It's been a neat little project to do. It's always kind of last minute of like, you know, trying to figure out, okay, well, who are we heading like this week? It's like, oh, well, do we do this one over this one? And so sometimes you stretch it a little, and sometimes Kickstarter's a little thin on the ground. And
right, right. No, I think it's a good idea. I was talking with Bo earlier. They use itch.io a lot. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I just recently got out there and looked around, and there was so much stuff. It was overwhelming. I didn't know where to start. And so sometimes having a list to look at, to start to figure out where, what I want to look at, where I want to go, especially if you know that list is in an area that you're interested in. So I think that's an awesome idea. So I will put it in the show notes.
Yeah, and itch is like a really interesting space going on right now. It's there's like so many games out there that it's like I want to play them all, but I know I can't physically cannot play them all. But they're all there. There's a tons of interesting stuff out there.
No, there is. Are you thinking about moving some of your works out there?
Possibly. I haven't. Part of it is most of my stuff is either freelance or a LARP, it's a little tricky to do the LARP on itch.
Okay.
Not impossible, but a little trickier. Gotcha. It's a lot of my work has been done for other people, so getting it out there is a little tricky. So I've got a few solo projects that I'm working on, or solo-ish projects that I'm working on that'll probably be available on itch eventually.
No, I'm still running. It's like a rabbit hole. I started with there was a game jam I was looking at, and then that turned into, oh, hey, there's tabletop stuff out here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, there's this computer gaming stuff out here. Look at this other thing I don't have a label for, but that looks interesting. And
yeah, it's super creative. Dungeon Commander's actually been doing a lot of work with getting them to make the platform more tabletop friendly, which has been pretty cool.
That is nice. I wasn't aware of that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I see. It's also very international too. I didn't expect that. And now a message from our sponsors. Big mad love to Just Karen, Michael Dunn O'Connor, Quinn, Judd, Jim Likes Games, Luell Francis, and Gina Ricker for joining the Dream Hustle. I appreciate you folks. Let's keep this our regular thing. What draws you to a game? What draws you to a game?
It depends. Like sometimes it's just like, oh, that's a really cool piece of art. I'm curious about what's going on behind that and what's under the hood. Sometimes it's the premise. Like I like the politicking of Urban Shadows and the like kind of supernatural set up behind it. But that's a different game than like Monster Hearts, which is also technically about the same kind of thing, but different. They scratch very different itches. Some of it is like, you know, okay, well, this is kind of close to a genre I like reading, so let's see how it plays in a game. And it's pretty much just depends on what itch I'm trying to scratch that day is the best way of describing it.
What's a good comfort go-to game that you like?
Probably Masks is the one that I pick up and play most frequently. Just because everybody kind of has like at least some kind of touchstone into the superhero world. Whether it's Marvel movies, whether it's comic books, old school Superman, you know, everybody has like something that they know about it. So it's easy to pick up and play with that genre pretty quickly for most people.
No, I like Masks. So I like Masks a lot, but I hate, maybe hate is kind of strong. No, that's about right. I don't like teenage superheroes. But Mask does an awesome job. It's hard not to like that.
Yeah. It's trickier. Because And I find I tend to play more on the upper end of the teenage spectrum. So like more early community college than late high school. Which kind of like takes, and that's one of the things I like about Mass over, say, Monster Hearts. Monster Hearts is very much about that high school experience that is kind of fictionalized, that doesn't match up at all with my high school experience.
No, that's me. I'm like, no, I'm with you.
I did not do any of the, what is this thing that you speak of? I went to prom, sort of.
Right, I went to prom.
I was home by like midnight, I think, and I didn't have a date, so so whereas Mass, it's not about the high school experience, it's about the relationships though, which I kind of like.
I do, and I think I think Brendan ran a game, and the thing I was skeptical going in because of the teenage superheroes thing.
Yeah.
And the thing that won me over is I think we messed up the first mission and the adults come along and everything just pops into place for them. Right. They can do no wrong. They clean up all the stuff and then they start the lecturing thing. And it's hard to push back because they fix the problem and the mechanics allow for that. Mm-hmm. And that grabbed me inside. I didn't like how that felt at the table, and that was a good thing. So I'm glad he built that into the game, that for the most part, the adults can do no wrong. And then they change your stats by telling you who they think you are.
Yeah. Hey, I think I think you're a bit of a failure and, you know, you're going to lower that. Or I think, you know, I'm so disappointed in you. It's like, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
Right.
It's that, you get that visceral feeling of, wow. Yes. Yeah.
And so that was working. I'm like, no, I'd rather you be angry.
Sometimes.
So that's a good game. That's a good solid game. I like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Do you find you have to teach more at the table when you're running a game of the game, or do you just jump right in and play?
Most of the time it's pretty intuitive. Okay. And I actually play it more than I run it, which is kind of amusing. So I've got a play set in the game officially, but I've never actually gotten to play it. I've always gotten to run it and like, I want to play it one of these days. the players that I've managed to find and play with, they're pretty quick at grasping how it works. And that's I think that's a testament to both the writing of it, which Brendan did an amazing job. But also like the ease of just the generalized system of how Power by the Apocalypse style stuff works, where you can just like everything you need is on like these two pages and it's easy to just grok and keep going.
Right. What's your convention schedule look like for 2020?
Packed.
Yes.
So far I'm already starting in October. I had one a month until April. So
wow.
I had I had Big Bad Con in October.
Right.
Then Metatopia in November. PAX Unplugged in December. I just got back from Orca Con in January. Next up is Dreamation in February, and then Breakout Con in March.
Nice.
And then I'm co-running Camp Nerdly this year, and that's in May. And then I think I don't have anything officially on my schedule after that, but it's just like been a busy like chunk of months.
No, that's a good busy schedule.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite con?
I like Big Bad Con a lot. It's one of my favorites. And I like Dreamation a lot just because it's in driving distance. And Dreamation was the first con I went to when I got back into gaming. So I started gaming at Georgia Tech in Atlanta And then we moved, and so I didn't play for a long while, and I didn't get back into it till my kids were like 3 or 4. And so Dreamation was the first con I went to after I got back into gaming. Okay. So there's kind of a, there's really good feelings associated with it. I really like the people that are there. So there's a little bit of nostalgia probably involved there too.
That's fair. I like Big Bad Con a lot. I like where it's situated on the calendar. It's kind of the last con of the year for me. And it's the one I play the most at. A lot of the cons end up running stuff, but it's the one I will play a lot of different other games. It's on schedule, off schedule, and the people are just awesome. So there's some magic there.
Yeah. It's a super cool con. I really enjoy it. I always have fun there.
Now, I have this on my list, and I want to get to it before I forget about it, because I know you brought it up a long time ago, but I don't know that I ever got the whole story, I'm fascinated. It's Rollmaster. Said, yes, tell me about Rollmaster. I love that game.
Eons ago, when I was still in college, one of our GMs was this old Coast Guard guy, had been... Okay, when I say old, he was like maybe five years older than the rest of us. Okay. He came and he's like, hey, I got a game. It's called Rollmaster. You want to play? And we're like, sure, why not? And we played that thing for probably a good 4 years.
Wow.
On and off.
Right.
So Sundays in various dorms and frat house lobbies and eventually like apartments. That was what we did for a good chunk of the year time.
Wow.
It was Rollmaster. I definitely could not go back to the level of crunch of Rollmaster. At the time I was a computer science major. So my senior projects for two classes, my database class and my user interface class, was making a character generator for Rollmaster, which I cannot find the disk I have it on anymore, because damn it, that would have been useful. So that it incorporated all of the, because it's like an eight we had it in an Excel sheet for a while.
Wow.
And it was like 8 pages when you printed the Excel sheet to do all the skills, and that wasn't counting if you had spells, because spells could go like another 5 pages. At one point I had made and it's going to add in all the bonuses for you're an elf, you get these bonuses, you're this kind of thing, you get these bonuses, and it was a labor of love. I really wish I had the disc that had it on there, but I cannot find those to save my life, and I am not going back and redoing it. I still have the books too, that's the funny part.
Yeah, I can't let mine go, and I don't know why, because I'm like, I'm never gonna go,
never gonna play this game again.
Yes, but I can't let them go.
I did finally get rid of my Deadlands books. My mother-in-law's neighbor got into gaming when she went into college, so I gave her my Deadlands books. So she was like, yeah, we're getting tired of D&D, I want to do something else. I'm like, hey, here you go. Okay. And just toss them off.
Nice. What does your dream table look like? If you could have anyone, any game, who's at your table? Yes. And what game are you playing? And it could be today.
I've gotten to do a decent number of my bucket list games, which is kind of fun. Like I got to play Bluebeard's Bride with Sarah running, and that is okay. Sarah, I love her. I love her with all my heart, but she's a creepy, creepy woman when she wants to be, and it's great. And her mind is just so twisted, and I love it. But it's not for everybody. So I got to. If anybody at my table?
Yes, it's your dream table. She also runs a very mean game of Lamentations of the Flame Princess.
I haven't played that one, but I'm sure she does.
She brings the horror.
She also runs an amazingly wicked game of Velvet Glove, which, oh my god, she'll break
your heart. Oh, yeah. We played online, and that was awesome. I'm like, you just can't leave me here at one session. I need some more of this. This was
right?
Yeah, this was awesome. So, yes, I love that. That was a good game.
So weird. I've gotten to play, like I said, I've gotten to play a lot of my bucket list. Well, so the amusing answer is I would get Jason Morningstar to play Masks and possibly enjoy it, but that's never going to happen. So he hates superheroes with passion. It's amusing.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Oh, no, he does not like the superhero genre. it is not his favorite thing in the world. I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Oh, no, that's fair. That's cool. How about this? And you can X card this one.
Sure.
So given the state of all the bad stuff we've got going on in gaming, and I try not to focus on a lot of the negative things, but there's a bunch of stuff across gaming. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we've experienced in tabletop gaming. What's the joy for you? What makes you stay and play and participate here?
It's little things like seeing kids in a crowd, seeing other people that look like them for the first time in a game, seeing my daughter getting to pick up stuff that I've worked on or worked with, and mm-hmm. seeing her experiencing it for the first time, and seeing it be different than when I started. I still sit down a lot of tables that are very pale male.
Yeah.
But they're getting less. My home group is more than half female at this point. Still pretty pale, but you know, there's only so much you can do about that. But like half my other games are pretty less so. Like the Dimming Humans game we're in,
yes.
Or the Spire game you're running. So little things like that, like seeing Harlem Unbound come out, seeing Part-Time Gods come out, or seeing like the Pathfinder release for what's it called? They did one for a comic book crossover that's full of it's a Black Comics art, and it's an amazingly beautiful book. So seeing strides being made towards making games look more like the world, which makes it more likely for people in the world to pick it up and say, oh, this is for me too. It's getting there. I mean, yeah, you still have your pockets of resistance and you still have your, you know, trolls online, you know, go woke, get broke, or whatever the hell it is they say. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatevs.
Yeah, whatevs,
yeah. Yeah, like, and so like, and occasionally I get some of that, but not nearly as often. As one would think, probably because I don't know. I don't think they see a point in going after me. It's like I'm black and I'm queer and I'm a woman. And are you really going to tell me I'm doing something for woke points? I mean, really, what are you getting out of saying that to me?
Right. What are you getting out of that?
What are you expecting to happen for accusing me of doing something for woke points? Just curious. like, what do you think I have to prove to you? So I do see progress being made, and that's why I stay.
Where can the listeners find you on the social nets?
Mostly you can find me on Twitter, at BG Gameworks, or when I remember, I blog at leftgirlgameworks.com. I don't always remember. I usually often rant on Twitter and then, oh, hey, that would make a good blog. And then like copy it and clean it up and make it a blog post.
Nice.
but yeah, the easiest place to find me is BG Gameworks on Twitter.
Awesome. I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I will see you in two Thursdays for some Spire.
And you'll see me on Monday. Oh, no, later. Because they're moving that one. We're not doing it
Monday.
Yeah,
they're moving that one, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's Friday. Got it. Ha.
See, no, you're right. I need to check my calendar, too. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to mess that up. Yeah, and I want right? to be there for that.
It is on the calendar, though. So I remember looking. It's on my calendar, so.
Awesome. All right. I will talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
That's my show. Thanks for listening. Dysology is sponsored by listeners like you. Join my Patreon and get access to extended interviews and bonus episodes. Send your comments to me at madj@dysology.com or on Twitter @GoDysology. Let's make this our regular thing.